banged up in last night's game? Or are you a weekend warrior that still thinks you got what it takes to play, but nagging injuries are slowing you down?
It's time to talk to some of the region's top sports medicine specialists. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show. All you ever wanted to know about sports medicine, and maybe just a little bit more.
Welcome into the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my special in-studio guest, Dr. Damian Kosempa. Go to mymosh.com for more information. I was really excited about having him in today because he is a Racine St. Catherine graduate and Greendale Martin Luther, the school where I coach. We had a 3 o'clock tip today at home against a very good St. Catherine's team. He got canceled last night.
I know St. Cat's is under a different regime now. Is this the first year without the legend Coach Letch?
Yeah, it is. And you know what? I saw Coach Letch out at a preseason scrimmage, and it was really good to see him. They're in good hands.
They've always got talent, and I don't think that would have changed.
No, and you know what? Coaching staff is good. And they start three sophomores, a freshman, and a junior. So the future is bright. And it's the Bennett family. It's Nick Bennett is the coach and from the legendary Bennett coaching tree.
Sure.
And I have not met him, and I was looking forward to meeting him, but I hear nothing but really good things about him. He is passionate. He's young. He's all over it, and he understands the history behind Racine St. Catherine's.
Well, they'll keep rolling.
Well, hopefully not when they play Martin Luther, but since we did get them twice last year, Coach Letch does not like me to say that, but hey, facts are facts, right? Hey, let's talk, if we can, about some injuries that I think we need to talk about. We'll start with, if we can, I want to start with Chris Middleton from the Bucks.
Yep.
We haven't talked much about that injury except when it first happened. And when you talk about rupturing your left hamstring, this isn't like he didn't pull his hamstring.
Probably not. Without any direct firsthand knowledge of this, I assume what happened is he avulsed it, they call proximally, so ripped the origin of it off of his seat bone, off of his ischium. So that's a little different from when you tear the muscle within the substance. And if he did rip it all the way off, especially for a guy with the demands that Chris has, surgery and a lengthy rehab is appropriate.
When I read back when I was doing research for it, I had forgotten he was playing basketball, training, and slipped on a wet spot.
Yep.
On the floor. It got to be a really painful injury.
Yeah, I think so. I've never done it myself, but when guys do it, they come in all bruised and sore and can't sit on it. And a lot of guys can do okay with it, but with an NBA demand and what Chris needs to do as far as getting up and down the court and getting up in the air, usually fixing it is the thing to do. This is very classically a water skiing injury.
You know, really?
Old guys, yeah, will try to get up on water skis and sort of yank too hard and just pulls it right off, pulls that bone right.
I probably will stay away from that. Got to be a big boat with a big engine to get me up there, but
right.
I used to water ski
right
a little bit, but yeah, I think I'll stay away from it. They talked about, this was September 29th, that he had gone through what they said was successful surgery, and then the next thing I saw, and it's been recent, where he says, look, I've been doing some shooting, I'm trying to get back in a little shooting form. I do a lot of mid-range shooting, maybe one or two dribbles. I'm just trying to move around, but nothing strenuous. And the Bucks had given him a timetable of 6 months after the surgery on his hamstring.
That would be my assumption, yeah. If the injury is about what I expected was, 6 months is probably a reasonable ballpark estimate. Maybe not getting back 100% at that time, but starting to ease back into things.
And depending on where they are right there, you're looking at probably March or beginning of April.
Yep.
And I'm a high school coach, but at that point, if I'm in the playoffs and we're rolling, I'm not sure I'm going to mess with the chemistry or to try to get him back early. I may say, look, let's go the off season, get ready for 2017.
Well, there's a couple ways to look at that. You know, I think his doctors and his trainers probably won't release him and let him back until they think he is ready and safe to do it. And from a team standpoint, from the Bucks side, I mean, they could use him. You know, they have some guys stepping in, but Chris would really fill a hole in that lineup.
Man.
He can shoot it, and you know, he's got just a little bit of explosiveness to get into the paint as well.
And he was the guy last year. They're down two, they're down one, and there's 14 seconds to go. He's the guy taking that last shot.
Yeah,
and I'm wondering what that whole chemistry side will be like when all of a sudden you've got a couple other guys now that have filled that role. And to
some degree, they've filled that role. But, I mean, can you imagine this team, the way they're playing now, if Middleton was out there playing like he did last year? I think
it's a scary team.
It is, yeah, absolutely.
All of a sudden, you can't double Giannis and you can't double Jabari because if they kick it to him and he's hitting it.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, let's talk about Green Bay Packers if we can.
Yeah.
You know, certainly Aaron Rodgers is the question mark. He and this doesn't surprise any of you guys from Mosh. He had tweaked his hamstring on one leg, and now the calf on his other leg is giving him problems. And you see that a lot, correct? Stuff like that.
You mean one thing happens and then something else
on the other leg because you're different now. You're putting more weight, or you're trying to do more with the other leg to save and protect.
Yeah. We see that all the time, you know, even just in weekend warrior types and guys that aren't even athletes. You know, one knee starts hurting, they start hobbling around, and all of a sudden their back hurts or their other hip hurts. But, you know, in a setting like this where it was probably two distinct injuries, it may have just been random, but it may have been one of those things where he was just favoring a bit more stress on the other leg and that opened it up to another injury.
Will the weather play? It's supposed to be just bitterly cold really tomorrow. Cold.
Yeah.
Well, how will that affect him and the calf and the hamstring?
You know, I mean, they've got a great training staff, and I think they'll get him loosened up and warmed up, and as long as he, you know, keeps stretching it and keeps moving around, and I think he'll stay warm, and it seems like he'll be okay with it. But certainly when the weather's cold, it makes muscles feel tight and tendons tighten up a bit. So, you know, I think they're really going to work hard on keeping it mobilized, keeping it moving, keeping it warmed up.
I was listening to a guy on the radio yesterday who played in the NFL for 5 or 6 years, and they were talking about this game, and they're talking about that kind of weather. And he said, look, when I was a starter, it didn't bother me.
Right.
He said all my whole focus was that 300-pound defensive lineman that wanted to kill me. And he said, so my whole focus was to protect my quarterback, and I was fully engaged in the game, didn't know how cold I was until after the game. Where it became a problem is when I was a backup.
Yep.
He said, because as a backup, you can't really sit on those seated chairs because that's for the guys that are playing.
Right.
And all you're doing is thinking, man, I wish this game would end.
You know, used to be on sidelines when I played a long time ago, and I never realized it either, but I spent a lot of time on football sidelines now as a covering team doc, and I tell you, it's a lot colder now than it ever was when I was playing. I mean, those are some miserable times when it's not even that cold, but it feels miserably cold when you're out there 3 or 4 hours.
Yeah, as the sideline reporter for my 24, I feel your pain. Yeah. And the boys up in the booth that are doing the game, I'm just the sideline reporter. But John Weiser and Terry Kelly, I'm always like, hey, is it heated up? Yeah, it's heated up here.
Heated and coffee pots heated, on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've got, you know, service that are handing off sandwiches. And and I'm down on the sidelines. The first week, it's super hot.
Right.
And, boy, my size doesn't like it real hot. And then at the end, it's pretty cold. So in the middle, it's not so bad.
Right. But it's going to be cold in Chicago this week. And it seems to me, you know, from a little bit I've seen on the news, that should be something that Mr. Rodgers can work through and keep warm and keep moving through the game. Hopefully they can get a big lead and let him rest.
And that would be awesome. I'm afraid of this one for some reason. Clay Matthews, again, this time of year, there's a lot of guys that are dinged up. His shoulder, I think, from 2 weeks ago looked much better this week. but he still isn't. It doesn't seem like he's making the plays that he has in the past, and I know it's because of these injuries.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like with him, it's just this never-ending string of little things, and you know they catch up at some point. I mean, he's still out there making plays, and you know I think he's probably one of the best guys they have on the field, but you can tell things are catching up a little bit.
Did you see the Randall Cobb play where he hurt his ankle?
Last week?
Yes.
You know, I was in the stands, so I couldn't quite see it.
Oh, you were at that one?
I was, yeah.
I had a chance to go to that one and ended up not going, and now I wish I would have.
Yeah, it was nice. It was festive, joyous up there.
Oh, I bet they were going nuts
going
up
nuts.
There.
Yep.
He actually had hurt, I think, both ankles on one play.
Yep.
And went to the locker room and then came back. They must have evaluated it, did whatever they needed to do to take some of the pain away, I think. And then back on the field, he came, and he's listed as questionable, but he had limited participation in practice, which means he's going to play.
He's going to play. Yeah.
Those guys. Look, the one that I just went nuts with was TJ Lang broke his foot, and he was back in 3 weeks from a broken foot, and he played really well.
Yep.
Their pain tolerance at this level, Dr. Kosempa, is something that guys like me wouldn't understand, I don't think.
No, and I mean, even between these guys, there's a wide range of what they're willing to put up with, and it sounds like TJ Lang is a pretty tough guy.
You know, and I'm glad that we're talking about this, because when we come back from break, we're going to get to a break. I want to talk a little bit about trying to understand the psychology of injured athletes. And this hits home to me because we've got a couple of players injured over at Greendale Martin Luther. And I want to try to understand that the days of saying, you know what, rub some dirt on it, get tough, get out there and play, are gone. And rightfully so. They should be gone. But I'm wondering if a kid, if it can truly be in his kitchen, in his head, more than what he thinks he's feeling in maybe a meniscus surgery that he had 8 or 9 weeks ago, that kind of thing. And I want to ask you a couple questions about that. My special guest this week, Dr. Damian Kosempa, you can go to mymosh.com for more information on Dr. Damian Kosempa, but he's a local guy, Racine St. Catherine's guy, and I love when he comes in the studio. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Jennifer Hudson, Oh Holy Night. Dr. Kosempa, Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, Mike.
You and your family. Yeah, thanks for letting me pick the music, something that Dr. McCarty never let me do after a Barry Manilow miscue.
No, you hit that first one pretty good. We'll let you do it again.
That's good. Make sure you tell Mitch that. He was trying to go off on his own. He's not going off. I heard his stuff. He's not going off on his
line.
Own.
Keep in
I got
line.
This sheet that I put took time.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You look at the others. I even have you telling you when to go in on them and stuff.
Yeah.
So, hey, Dr. Kosempa, I wanted to talk about the psychology of injured athletes with you. And here's the reason. At Greendale, Martin Luther was struggling with some injuries. And talking with Ashley, who is our athletic trainer from Mosh, who I absolutely adore, by the way.
She does a great job. Yep.
She's really good, and she's really smart.
Yep.
And we are running her ragged with our injuries. And I need to know as a coach, those days of saying, you're fine, just get in there, take some, you know, wrap it and get back in there, are over. And I need to, as a coach, understand the psychology of this. And we have kids that are injured, and there's one that I think should be further along than he is.
Yep.
And I think some of it is in his kitchen, in his head.
Yeah, and that could be the case. You know, everybody recovers at their own pace, so it's a lot easier for a middle-aged lady to get back to going to the store after a knee scope than it is for a, you know, basketball player to get back in practice 100%, be on the court for a game. And you know, the reasons for that are a couple. One is, you know, their demands are so much higher, and when you're injured and have surgery, you know, even if your incisions are healed and there's no swelling, your muscles have atrophied a little bit and your muscle firing sequences are just a little bit off. So it can take some time for that to right itself. But like you alluded to, psychologically is a big part of it as well. And, you know, if you remember how it hurt, you remember what you had to go through, and you don't want that to happen again. So it does take some testing and getting back to it for some period of time before you start to forget about it.
If this young man has gone through the testing,
yep,
and everybody along the way at this point is saying, hey, look, we think he's ready to go. He doesn't think he's ready to go. And he's doing a drill and he's dragging his leg.
Yep.
You know, he's the one that's going to have to know. But I don't know if as his coach, if I'm being told from everybody else that, look, he's with us. He's doing his rehab and he's doing everything we're asking him to do,
yeah,
without an issue.
Yeah, I just don't think he can force it. I think the athlete will know when they're ready, and if they don't feel quite up to it, it just takes time and gradual progression to get up to things. You know, you think about a guy like you remember when Derrick Rose hurt his,
sure,
knee initially a couple of years ago, and you know, he was clear and passed all his functional and strength testing and things like that, and he just didn't feel ready, and we do see that. And
he got killed out of the media down there.
He did.
And you know, I felt bad for that, and look, I just don't know. I think that, and this is as a coach, and not because we have to have him back on the court, but can I push him a little bit to say, okay, look, we don't have a game now for a week. We got a couple of days off. We had a practice last night. Then we're going to be off Saturday, Sunday. We don't play till next Thursday. Let's give it a shot and see what happens.
I mean, you can encourage him to give it a shot, but I don't think pushing athletes to get back is typically the right way to go about it. You know, I think that most athletes want to play. They want to be out there. That's why they do what they do. That's why they put what they do into it. And I think they know when they're ready to return from an injury. Now, the flip side of that is not true. So when, you know, somebody's 2 or 3 months out from an ACL and they want to get back, they say, I'm ready. That's not the case.
Right.
But once they're medically cleared and they don't quite feel ready yet, I think you need to give them time, and I think you need to let them get back to it on their own terms.
The opposite, when you talked about, do you see that a lot where guys have an injury and it's a 2 or 3 month, and they're 2 or 3 months out and they're feeling really good
all the time, especially in these young, motivated high school, college age guys who, you know, say it doesn't hurt, it's not swollen, the muscles are working, I can do all this. Why can't I, you know, get back on the field? And those are the ones that it's tough to slow down. Now, I think a lot of that plays a part in what we see after recovery, and you know, maybe in this guy that you're talking about on your team now, because somebody probably spent 2, 3, 4, 6 weeks telling him, hey, you know, slow down, you're not ready for this, and then just to switch it and say, go ahead. I think it takes your psyche a little bit of time to adapt to that.
You know, here's the part of this that he's got some history within his family of serious knee issues. I mean, some, you know, as serious as you can get with knee issues. Now, this was a football injury, and he tore his meniscus. They went in, and they cleaned it up. They didn't take the meniscus. They shaved it. And I think that takes a little longer to get back. So my hope is that he soon starts realizing that, okay, there's going to still be a little bit of soreness, a little bit of tightness, but that's what it is, not that it's another issue that he has to go get surgery with.
Yep, I'm sure he'll get to that in his own time.
I'm hoping. Do you find that the parents of some of the younger athletes are the ones holding them back or pushing them too fast?
I would see a lot of both.
You do?
Yeah, we see it both sides, and I think equally dramatic going both ways. So you can't necessarily predict, based on somebody's background or demographic, which side they're going to be on.
Which,
but we see a lot of it.
Which one is easier for you to deal with?
I think the I think they both have their issues and their challenges in dealing with them. I think it's a little bit easier dealing with the parents who say, get back to it. You know, you got to do it. You know, I want you to play through it, because you can say, you know, my medical opinion is that, no, you can't do it. And I think you could be a little more definitive that way.
Yeah, I think that would be, you can show the research.
Right.
Say, look, here's, it's tougher. It's tougher maybe when they're saying, look, he thinks he's right, we don't.
Right.
We think he needs another 3 weeks.
Right.
Hard for you to be able to pull research and say you're wrong and here's why.
Right, because typically, you know, when they say that, they're right. You know, I mean, this isn't, you know, none of these sports are life and death. And, you know, a lot of them are talking about our kids who are doing this electively and recreationally. So if they need a little bit more time, I never have a problem with that.
Hey, and we're going to talk a little bit in the next segment about rehab guidelines and expected time, of course, to get back from injuries. As we had talked about, my wife had knee surgery last Friday, had some cartilage taken out, and they cleaned up her meniscus, and she's doing good. She was sore. I think she redid it on Thursday, but she's feeling pretty good again today. I think it's important for her to go out and snowblow, right? Isn't that good rehab for
definitely for good for the stretching and strengthening of it? Absolutely, and the cold will help some of the swelling to keep it down. So I agree.
Because she's listening, so if she can get that thing started, she could maybe get that walk
get out there right now.
In all seriousness, please don't, Terry. You stay away from that. But what is the rehab? And we talked to Dr. McCarty, so you know we kind of understand what she's going to go through, but the rehab for her, as not being a high school athlete, her goal right now, Dr. Kosepa, is in the next 7 days to be able to do 30 minutes on the elliptical,
yeah,
at one time, and not to do it like the stock market, you know, to just kind of nice easy pace, maybe do 10 minutes and then 12 and then 15 and get to 30 minutes in a week, and then take a breath and see where we're at.
Yeah, it's good to set goals, and you know, after a simple cleanup, most people can bounce back pretty quickly. Some people not quite as much, and you just need to be flexible and adaptable and be able to go with it.
So before we get to a break, and we have to get to a break, I've talked about the experience that other people I know have had at Mosh, but now it's personal.
Yep.
Now it's me.
Yeah, hope everybody was nice to you there.
It was incredible. Yeah. They didn't know who I was. It wasn't like, oh, he's the guy. It was just we that's Terry and her husband Mike.
Yep.
And it was an incredible experience. It's all fun and games till they put the gown on, though.
Yep.
You know, we're laughing and goofing, and all of a sudden the gown goes on, and things get serious pretty quick. And even though it's a simple to you, it's a simple procedure.
As simple as anything we do. Yep.
Right. But to us, it was big.
Right.
You know, she's never been put under before.
Right.
And for her, she's a tough Polish girl from River West area, man. And I never see her look nervous. And she looked nervous in the morning, which made me nervous.
Yep. It's understandable.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The people, and I wish I would have kept my card with all their names, but I had talked about them last week. These people at Mosh were incredible.
Well, I think they're all, you know, you could have taken their names down, but I think they're all equally on the same page. And, you know, no matter who you would have ended up with, you would have had the same experience.
You don't take that for granted, do you?
No.
It's a great team.
It's a great team. And, you know, the guys that have kind of got it started and got it going, that was their primary goal, is to make sure everybody was on the same page, you know, from the guy that checks you in at the door to when you leave.
I sat in the recovery area, and most people watching TV are on their phones. I was doing research for the show,
yeah,
and I sat and watched as doctors would meet with patients in the small rooms there, and I would watch how they would come out, and their bedside manner to the family members was incredible to me. Now, I knew the doctor doing the surgery, so I knew that when we sat in that room that he would be straight and say, here's what I had, it was a great surgery, your wife did great, but I watched the other ones.
Yep.
And from the time we checked into that desk to the time we left, man, it was a good experience. Congratulations on that. It's a good team at Mosh.
I'm glad he had a good experience.
Yeah, yep. You bet. He is Dr. Damian Kosepa. Go to mymosh.com for more information. We'll continue our conversation with him on the other side of the break. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
They told me, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum, a newborn king to see, ba-rum-ba-bum-bum.
Mitch, you don't listen to me much, do you?
Well, they were just talking in that part, so I wanted to get some vocals here.
Why don't you get to the 35-second part? No, that's not it. So wrong. You got the wrong one. Anyway, that was Bing Crosby, David Bowie. Peace on Earth, Little Drummer Boy. Merry Christmas to everybody. Listen, did you get your shopping done yet, Dr. Kosempa?
Click, click, click on Amazon. Yep.
Attaboy.
That's it, man.
That's the way to do it? Yeah, I got mine kind of done. I know Terry's listening because she's been texting me saying, no, you boys are funny, but I'm not snowblowing. So, you know, we tried.
No, somebody will do it when he gets home today, I'm sure.
Yeah, 12:30, right before grandson Beckett's birthday today. Turns 3.
Right.
Going across the street to have a little cake, and then I'm going to come home, take a nap, I think. Hey, let's, if we can, we're talking about guidelines, rehab guidelines, expected time course. We've talked about ankles. We've talked about knees. When you talk about various muscle pulls and tears, does it depend on what part of the body you're pulling that?
Yeah, it depends on the part of the body, but I think more than that depends on the severity. You know, there's anything from just a little stretch injury to a big tear of a muscle belly in the middle of it. And, you know, obviously the time to recovering from that and what goes into the recovery process is very different between the two. So, you know, when you talk about a little hamstring pull or a little groin pull, it can be something you play through. But, you know, something like we talked about with Middleton, complete rupture likely. You know, obviously it becomes a lot bigger deal with surgery in 6 months or somewhere in that ballpark.
For you personally, have you seen that athletes are, it's quicker to come back from, you know, a strain in the calf or the hamstring?
Yeah, typically, a calf strain, will get better a little bit quicker. But, you know, I think the big difference between the two is a calf is a little bit less likely to retweak. I mean, when you see a hamstring, especially if you've torn part of the muscle, it's one of those things where, you know, you see these NFL running backs and it just keeps happening again and again and again, and you try to get back from it and it can become one of these more nagging chronic things.
Yeah.
I think a guy like Arian Foster, who, you know, ruined my fantasy team 3 or 4 times with these chronic hamstring injuries. You see these things just kind of keep going.
You're a big fantasy football guy?
No, I mean, I have, but now I'm...
Can I ask you a question about my team?
Well, I'm probably not the right guy to ask, but sure.
So I'm in the semifinals today. David Carr from the Raiders plays against San Diego.
Yeah.
Brady travels to Denver. I got to play one of those quarterbacks.
I always say Brady. You know, Brady can do no wrong.
I know, but...
I mean, Carr's been great, and Brady's not been great at Denver, but...
You got to go with the horse, right?
You got to go with the horse. You
know? And I'm thinking, it's driving me nuts. Literally, since Monday, every other day I've gone, no, I'm going with Carr. No, I'm going with Brady.
I'd go with Brady, but again, how are you doing in yours? Record this year. I'm not playing this week.
I'm going with Carr then. He is Dr. Damian Kosempa, mymosh.com for more information on him and the people at Mosh. Again, I can't stress enough what a great experience my wife Terry and I had a week ago. Ankle. I want to get back to ankles one more time. Once somebody has an ankle injury, because we've had a number of those. We had a young man that has a high ankle sprain. His name is Ace Evans, trying to get back, practiced a little bit last night, really good basketball player.
Yep.
But that high ankle thing, our concern then is once he does come back, that he's going to re-injure that. Ankles seem to keep going. If you injure it once.
Yeah, ankles seem to keep going, and I think it's for a couple of reasons. I think people that hurt their ankle initially have some either alignment or muscle imbalance predisposition to doing it in the first place. So if they do it once, they're going to do it again. But also, you know, once you sprain an ankle, a sprain is basically a nice way of saying that you tear ligaments in, okay. in the ankle. And once you've torn them, they stretch out a little bit, and the ankle gets a little bit more loose and is prone to re-injury, especially if you get back to it quickly without proper rehab, strengthening.
Right. Well, Ashley's doing everything she can, and you know, she's more patient than the coaching staff is.
That's good. That's why the trainers are there.
And she's doing a great job with him. That high ankle makes a big difference as far as his rehab time and when he gets to come back.
Yeah, it does. And you know, typically run-of-the-mill ankle sprain can be a week or two injury. When you start to talk about the high ankle thing, where that means that you've also sprained the ligament that connects the two shin bones at the bottom end, so the tibia and the fibula.
So you know what? You hear high ankle sprain all the time.
Yep.
Does that mean it's higher up on...
Yep. So basically, you know, the ankle is three groups of ligaments, one on the inside, one on the outside, on the bony parts of the ankle. And then the third ligament actually connects the two shin bones, the tibia and the fibula, right above the foot bone. And once that higher ligament is involved, it becomes a little bigger issue. And that's what we call the high ankle sprain.
He tried to come back a couple practices ago, and he was doing a couple drills, and then we had a drill where he beat a guy off the dribble, went up for a shot, and when he landed,
yep.
you could see it in his face. He just walked off the court.
Yep.
Yesterday, though, he did a lot of drills, and he's a kid that he literally could be in a walking boot. He could still shoot it. It doesn't matter. He still can shoot it, but the other stuff, trying to get his own shot, is where the problem is.
Right.
Speaking of that, you know, let's go back real quick to the quarterback for the Packers, Aaron Rodgers, hurt his calf early in that game against Seattle.
Yep.
And he still played awfully well.
Yeah,
he wasn't getting out of the pocket much, but he stayed in the pocket and he can still throw it.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just trying to get away from these defensive linemen that are trying to kill him then.
Right, and you know, I think he'll do what he needs to do, a few sidesteps here and there. I think he played through something very similar last year, right?
Right.
He had a calf tweak and...
Yeah, he'll be okay.
I suspect so.
Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, I got a couple other things I want to talk to you about. Joint replacement, cartilage transfer, some more obscure conditions that we probably don't talk a lot about when we talk about high school athletics. Yeah. But I have some questions regarding that and kind of that, again, that guideline as far as what the expected time to get back to doing whatever it is you do. On some of those. Dr. Damian Kosempa is my special in-studio guest, mymosh.com, for more information. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
One, two, three. Silent night, holy night.
Welcome back. That's Pentatonix, Silent Night. Mitch picked this one, but off the sheet I gave him. Good choice, Mitch. That's awesome. My special in studio guest, Dr. Damian Kosempa. Go to mymosh.com for more information. You guys have traditions that you do, Chris, for Christmas, you and your family? You're starting traditions, I'm sure, right?
No, I don't. Day to day, you know?
Yeah?
Day to day.
We do. That's always been big with my wife. So we do Christmas Eve at my brother John's house. Christmas morning has to be at our house.
Yep.
You can get married, you can go, but you got to get, this is where you're going to be.
Everybody's coming back.
Yeah. And I read the book, The Giving Tree.
Yep.
And then before anybody opens a gift. And I have to tell you, Dr. Kosempa, 25 years ago, reading that book is a lot different than it is today for me.
That's a favorite in my house. We've got that one on the shelf as well.
It is a, yeah, it's very emotional as you
absolutely.
Get older and you have kids and yep. start to realize what that book is about, man. And it's but we get that done. My grandsons sit around, we read it, and and then we'll open some gifts. My wife makes an excellent breakfast before that. Then I take a nap and off to one of her sister's house, one in Heartland, Kathy LaMoffa. They got a beautiful house, and then Debbie in Hartford, and they go back and forth, and the family gets together, and it's fun.
Sounds good.
They play too many games for me.
Well,
are you a game guy?
Once in a while.
Yeah?
Once in a while with the kids, you know. I'm not an adult game guy.
Yeah, no, that's what they are.
With the kids.
So, sometimes I take my own car just in case they're going to go a little too long. And
you need more soda or something. Right,
yeah,
right out,
I'll
right?
be. I'll see you later. I'll be home when you guys get there. Hey, in the time that we have left, we want to talk a little bit, and we've been talking most of the show about rehab guidelines and expected time for you to get back to whatever it is you're doing. And I seem to focus a lot on high school athletics because I coach. But when you're talking about things like joint replacement,
yeah.
You're talking normally about older people, correct?
Definitely. Yeah, yeah. Usually people older than 50 at least, and,
yeah.
And a lot of them quite a bit older than that.
It's been incredible. That category is incredible how it's changed over the last 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, we've gotten a lot better with our materials and components and, you know, the wear characteristics of the different things that we put in. But I think, you know, similar to the case in sports med and arthroscopic procedures, we've gotten better at rehab for some of the joint replacement as well. So we really accelerate things and get them going. You know, that being said, it's a big hit on your body when you get your hip replaced or your knee replaced. So, you know, it can take some time.
I told this story, but my oldest brother, Jim, had his hip replaced like 10 years ago,
yep.
And he had to have the other one, and he put it off until he literally could barely walk because of what happened 10 years ago.
Yep.
And then he had this done,
yep.
And he called me 2 days later, and he said, it's nothing compared to what it was. He goes, if
right.
I knew,
right.
Had I done my research, I would have had it done immediately, as soon as they said I needed it.
Yeah, and I don't do a lot of elective hip replacement. It's just not part of my practice. But I can tell you that, you know, with current technology and implants, and you know, if you get a guy who is good at what he does, like some of the guys we have at Mosh, Dr. Butler and Dr. Evanick, I mean,
yep.
Those are some of the happiest patients in the world, because not only do they not have pain, but their hip feels normal. So they start to forget about it within, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks sometimes.
He 5 weeks later, he was out playing golf and walking the course.
Yeah.
And he could not believe it. Hey, when part of the sheet and part of the stuff that we had talked about prior to the show, cartilage transfer, can you explain that to me? Because I'm not real familiar with it.
Well, there's a couple different types of cartilage transfer, and it depends on the type of injury and how widespread it is. But, you know, clearly in a kid who's 20 who somehow whacked a piece of cartilage off of the end of the thigh bone in the knee, you know, it's a tough situation, and we're not going to do a joint replacement. And, you know, if we want to get him better, there are some things we can do as far as either taking his cartilage cells and sending them off to a lab in Boston where they culture them and grow them and make more of them. Then we can re-implant those into a defect. And, you know, that it's not something we do a lot, but we certainly do. And I do and have seen some really nice results from it. That's a big recovery period, though. I tell people that's a year before you're back playing sports.
Wow.
And that's one of the reasons why we still see a lot of microfracture in the pro athlete population. It's a hard sell to tell somebody they're going to take a year off of their career for a cartilage transplant procedure like that.
Yeah, they look at you and say absolutely not.
For what? You know, for a lot of guys, especially who are mid to late career, that's a career ender.
Yeah, they want to know what they can do. What else is available? Can I get back
right.
on the court or the field sooner? Hey, this time of year, what are you seeing most of?
Well, the end of the year is crazy just from timing perspective and, you know, people trying to get things done just because they have some time. So a lot of rotator cuffs and things that have been floating around for a while. But then, you know, the ice is a big thing. So the ankle fractures and the tibia fractures and wrists and humerus. I mean, this week was a little crazy with some of the ice on the ground.
Oh,
a lot
I
of
bet.
Ice injuries.
What about skiing, snowboarder, stuff like that?
Yep.
You've seen a lot of that too?
Yeah, we do. I mean, we're not in Denver, so we probably don't see quite as much as the mountains, but skiing is tough on the knees.
Right.
And if you know anybody who is you know, lifelong high-intensity skier. They've probably got an ACL reconstruction at some point in their life.
You know, we were talking a few weeks ago the difference between injuries that you get when you downhill ski to snowboarding to tubing.
Yep.
And I didn't think there'd be much. I guess I hadn't thought about it, but a lot of injuries with snowboarders.
Absolutely. Yep.
Wrists.
A lot of wrist. Yep.
Yeah. And concussions.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah. They need to wear that. Wear the gear, man.
Well, right? Some of that is just the demographic of snowboarders. I think they're a little more reckless, risk taker.
You don't see me as a snowboarder, do you?
Well, me neither.
No. Oh, you can't.
No.
No, with what you do for a living, you can't do anything for that. Might damage your hands.
I agree. Well, I think it even predated that. I just don't want to crash into anything.
Right.
So.
Do you know, the person we had in said one of the issues is people don't know how to fall correctly.
Right.
And you're tense up and you try to, you know, you jam your hands down to stop it rather than just rolling with it.
Right. And, you know, we talk about that and there's some athletics to that. You know, there's definitely difference in kids who fall off of monkey bars and know how to fall and don't. So the kids that know how to fall break their forearm, and the kids that don't know how to fall break their humerus.
That's what
above,
I did when I was about
elbow.
4 years old. I broke my arm and I think my elbow and my wrist.
Yep.
Falling off of monkey bars.
Yep.
That's funny you say that.
Yep. So
he must see a lot of that, because
we see a lot of that, and especially in my training, we saw a lot of that. And just looking at a kid, if he had an athletic build or not, you can tell what he's going to break. So knowing how to fall. Yeah.
That's interesting. Boy, thank you so much, man. I appreciate you coming in. Again, that the stuff that happened to us a week ago with Terry and having that surgery, we knew it was coming, but it was a great experience. And I'm going to keep saying it each and every week because now it's personal. But thank you for what you guys do at Mosh, man. I really appreciate it.
I'm glad she had a good experience. And thanks for having me on the show, guys.
Yeah, you bet. He is Dr. Damian Kosempa. You can go to mymosh.com for more information. He will be sad one of these days when that Greendale Martin Luther St. Catharines game. Hey, I'll get you the new date, and if you have time, come watch that game.
All right. Yeah, no, please please send it to me. Yep.
Yeah, you will be really proud of your team's good, man.
Good.
And they're back, and they've never really left. I mean,
good. Let's
be honest. Might have had a year off because of injuries, but St. Catharines is always the deal.
Reload.
They reload down there. This is the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.